This is KBNF Regional News for Monday, June 9th. I'm Patricia Naft. Four Republicans are vying to be the lone candidate to run against Democratic Governor John Hickenlooper in the fall. But with the primary election coming up on June 24th, only two of the candidates participated in a taped debate hosted by CBS4 and Colorado Public Television. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Debate organizers knew ahead of time that former Congressman Tom Tancredo never planned to be a part of the hour-long program. But Secretary of State Scott Gessler didn't show up, even though his campaign confirmed that he would. And that left plenty of time for former Congressman Bob Beaupre and one-time Senate Minority Leader Mike Kopp to talk about their fellow candidates and Governor John Hickenlooper.
I fault him for not really leading. And I challenge anybody to tell me really what is the Hickenlooper agenda. It seems to be a reactive one.
That's Bob Beaupre.
In the legislature, instead of really the governor's agenda, it seems like he looks at anything that they send him and he tries to figure it out later.
Here's Mike Kopp.
The governor should have issued vetoes on all those bad gun bills. The governor should have made a decision, not punted, when it came to the murderer, Nathan Dunlap. And also, the governor has tried to advance a tax increase in a down economy by $1 billion. And if he's reelected, he'll do it again.
There's not much daylight between the two candidates on policy, but there are some differences. For instance, Kopp supports the Personhood Amendment, Beaupre does not. And Kopp doesn't back civil unions, while Beaupre does. Of all the candidates, Beaupre says he's the most qualified to be Colorado's next governor.
The lifetime of experience I've had in rural Colorado, urban Colorado, running a bank, real estate development, being a member of Congress as I was, all of those have prepared me, I think, very well.
But it's not his first go-around. Beaupre lost the gubernatorial race to Democrat Bill Ritter back in 2006, and he entered this race late, having to petition his way onto the ballot and narrowly making it.
John Elway lost the Super Bowl, as I recall, and thankfully we didn't get rid of him or Peyton Manning. Politics is a little bit that way. Ronald Reagan ran twice before he was the nominee for president. That one election that I lost is not the only time that I had to learn tough lessons, and I did learn.
Republican Mike Kopp is the only GOP candidate in the field who hasn't run for statewide office. Kopp got on the ballot through the state assembly, where he won top billing. He says the race is wide open, and he believes bringing a fresh voice to the party will help the GOP.
I think it's time to break from pretty tired politics of the past. We've been doing things that haven't been working so well as a party. And as a result, we haven't had the influence in the state that we should be having. But I understand. I'm the underdog in the race.
And even though he hasn't participated in any candidate debates, a Democratic group is running a TV ad praising former Congressman Tom Tancredo and blasting Bob Beaupre, indicating that Democrats would prefer Tancredo be the one to face off against Governor John Hickenlooper. Kopp says that would be a mistake.
The Democrats view Tom as being a one-issue guy around immigration. The perception around Tom is that he's not just hawkish, but that he's something more than that. He has to figure out a way to cope with that if he gets into the general election. I think the Democrats are aware of that.
Whoever wins the primary on June 24th will face a tough matchup against Governor Hickenlooper. While the governor's faced backlash for supporting stricter gun laws, he's personally popular. In 2010, he easily beat the Republican candidate Dan Mays and the American Constitution Party candidate Tom Tancredo. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
Some of the heavy hitters in the marijuana community celebrated its legalization in Colorado at an event in Woody Creek. The group NORML, or the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, held a cookout over the weekend at Owl Farm, Hunter S. Thompson's old homestead. Aspen Public Radio's Marcy Krivenin was there and filed this report.
From the outset, the cookout looked fairly typical and benign. Live music, burgers on the grill, families around picnic tables. But the celebrated guest of honor was marijuana, and thanks to its legalization in Colorado, pot was out in the open.
This is a sea change. To have a chance to do this outdoors, nobody's worried about getting arrested. Amendment 64 was our Gettysburg. And we're the North. Maybe this is where the tide turns.
Denver attorney Phil Turner was one of about 150 guests. Anita Thompson, Hunter S. Thompson's widow, organized the party at Owl Farm just outside Woody Creek. Thompson famously championed marijuana and other drugs and alcohol. Since his death nearly a decade ago, Anita Thompson's been determined to keep parts of the house looking the same as they did when her husband was alive. We sat down in the kitchen.
Right here where you're sitting is where Hunter sat. He typed right here with these keys, the same remote controls, the same TV even. Yeah, this is his catbird seat, he called it. It just brings me comfort to have it as it was, as Hunter was. As he left it.
Thompson was a counterculture icon and author who invented gonzo journalism. He lived at Owl Farm for nearly four decades. In the lower part of the house, called the War Room, he wrote Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, and in 1970 started his campaign for Pitkin County Sheriff. Years later, he took his own life at Owl Farm. Now his ashes are buried on a mesa just above the house.
Hunter had an interesting view of legalization of marijuana. He had an unorthodox view.
Anita Thompson says her late husband would be happy with Colorado's decision to legalize marijuana. He advocated for decriminalization and didn't want to see marijuana commercialized. Thompson says he also would have been surprised.
But I don't even think he expected it to become this potent. So any worries that he had that pot might become less potent or the quality would go down, I don't think he had to worry about.
Hunter Thompson was an early advisory board member for Normal. Keith Straub founded the organization in the early 1970s, and he befriended Thompson around the same time.
I met him in 72 at the Democratic National Convention, and we actually smoked a joint under the bleachers.
Back then, Normal worked on stopping the arrests of those caught with marijuana and connecting those arrested with lawyers. Now that pot is legal in Colorado, the group's efforts have changed. They're focused on corporate drug testing and DUID, or driving under the influence of drugs. As far as the rollout in the state, Straub says heavy regulation of recreational marijuana shops is key to get the bad actors out of the industry. And he's surprised state politicians embraced it so well.
I think they see it as an opportunity for a new significant stream of revenue. That's not appreciably different from the revenue they get from alcohol or gambling or lots of other things.
Still, legalization opposition groups say the new industry is ushering in new problems. The New York Times reports some hospitals are treating more and more people sickened by edible marijuana, and sheriffs in neighboring states are seeing more stoned drivers.
When I was a bad little kid, I would get on my bike and go for a ride.
Back at the farm, the party continues. Hunter Thompson's fans line up at his front door to take tours of the house. Joe Rogaway is a criminal defense lawyer in California.
You know, I was a lifelong fan of Hunter S. Thompson and read maybe all of his books, and he was my favorite. You know, he got me through college. And so it's just like really special to be here right now and get to a place that is, it's storied. You know, it's a place that I've read about for maybe decades, and I get a chance to actually experience personally. And I would just wish that he was here also, because that would just be the icing on the cake, obviously.
Thompson's wife, Anita, says the late icon was there in spirit, celebrating legalization along with many of those who worked on the issue for years. Marcy Krivenin, Aspen Public Radio News.
Stay tuned for Go Betty and the Monday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.